First, a quick message from our sponsors. Elm Coffee Roasters open in Pioneer Square in South Lake Union for takeout and soon indoor seating. Order coffee and more at elmcoffeeroasters.com. If you're looking for a place to live in the fall with student-friendly amenities, spectacular views, and that's walking distance to campus, check out The M Seattle. They are the only student living high-rise near UW, and they've recently dropped the rates on all their floor plans. Visit themseattle.com for more info. Hello, welcome to A More Perfect Union. My name is Simon Schumacher, and I'm so excited to have you with me. My guest is Ben Roscoe. He's a sophomore at the University of Washington, and he's double majoring in economics and political science. Now, I want to have a conversation with Ben because for as long as I've known him, he's been a Bernie guy. And as much as I might have connotations about what that means, I'm really excited to hopefully break down some of those connotations. So before I put a label on Ben, I would love for you, Ben, to maybe label yourself or walk us through very briefly what your politics are. I know that labels can be reductive, but maybe they'll give us a little bit of framing of what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. I voted for Biden in the election, and I voted for Bernie Sanders in the primaries, but I was hesitant to vote for Elizabeth Warren only because I felt like Bernie had a better chance. So I was kind of in the air between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, but I don't hate Biden. I know a lot of people feel like they were either in the Bernie camp or in the Biden camp, but I appreciate Biden. I think he's a very good president, but I definitely align more with Bernie. If I could have had a president, it would have been Bernie. Especially in 2016. But I'm really happy with Biden. If I were to label myself, like you said, probably on the outside of the Bernie camp.
Awesome. I understand that. And that's the sentiment that I've gathered is Biden hasn't been the disappointment that some people thought he was. I mean, I'm obviously a really big Biden guy, but I can respect the hesitation. That's interesting you say that you're on the edge of the Bernie camp. I say that because it seems to me as though Bernie Sanders supporters are an interesting phenomenon. You have people, you know, on the right, if you can call it, of the Bernie camp, who, you know, the kind of people who might celebrate Medicare for all, they're attracted to Bernie's consistency, which is, you know, nothing short of admirable. And you have people all the way to the left who, you know, peddle any number of worldviews or conspiracy theories that I might find quite shocking. But the thing that's most surprising is quite how wide that camp is. You have hardcore leftists, you know, Marxist-Leninists, Maoists that will have a Bernie flag in their room right next to their, you know, picture of Stalin or Mao. And then you have people who, you know, in reality are quite moderate or pragmatic or whatever it might be.
I feel like a lot of Bernie supporters, they scare Republicans, I think. I think the Republican Party is also really good at making all Bernie supporters, AOC supporters, they're coming for your guns. They're going to get you, you know, really socialist. But, you know, I appreciate like the way that he disrupts things kind of. I mean, it's almost like this horseshoe theory, right? Bernie supporters that are so far strident with Bernie that they're more likely to vote for Trump than they were for Biden. And so you can see that kind of horseshoe theory. I voted for Biden. I'm happy with Biden.
What is it about Bernie Sanders? And do you blow it up to left-wing politics in general? Are you specifically a Bernie Sanders fan? Are you a squad kind of person, a Pramila Jayapal kind of person, the broad progressive, or are you specifically a Bernie Sanders fan?
Definitely more broadly progressive. I think when it really boils down to it, I like to think of post 1964 Martin Luther King Jr. I think it comes down to like economics. That's why I decided to go into economics, because you need economic freedom to be free. There's like, they're so intertwined that you need to have these economic policies that are willing to redistribute wealth. I don't think it needs to be socialist necessarily, but I can see why people feel that way, because the 1/10 of 1%, I know he always says this, the millionaires and the billionaires, they have so much wealth, they have so much power in American society. And I feel like if poor people were just able you know, they're just fighting to make it by. And it's just, it doesn't need to be that way in America, where we have so much wealth. Like, if you look at our privileged position, I think distributing the wealth enough so that people can have a decent life. And it's just so unfair for African Americans, especially for Black people. They're having a really hard time in America right now because I believe white supremacist policies have shaped generations. And it's just a shame that it's still taken this long. And I think what really resonates with me is, you know, seeing Bernie Sanders, like those pictures of him with, you know, the civil rights movement, getting hosed and all that. He's been fighting for the same things. He's been saying the same stuff over and over. I don't even know how old he is. He's too old, but he's just been, you know, saying this stuff for so long. And it's just a shame that it hasn't happened. None of his policies have, you know, worked themselves out to fruition. So for me, the reason that I really resonate with Bernie is that he believes in this distribution of wealth. There just needs to be a little bit more. We can't have such unfettered capitalism.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's always, you know, one question one asks in politics is how much of it is idealism and how much of it is pragmatism? And it sounds like your support for him is a pretty pragmatic. I want people to have access to healthcare. I want people to have access to economic security. You know, I think a lot of these other things don't matter. People can't feed their kids, their medicine cabinet, their food pantries are empty. Is that a good understanding of your support of Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, I feel like that kind of hits the nail right on the
left
head.
In general. So I'm curious, do you kind of toss away labels of socialist or capitalist? Is that kind of irrelevant to your politics?
Yeah, I mean, socialist is such a buzzword that I don't know how to use it. And it means different things to different people. Same with liberal. People call me a liberal all the time, but I think I'm not a liberal at all. Like, I am not a libertarian in the least. And so I feel like, you know, it's hard to use those labels.
No, sure. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, just the word liberal, it can mean literally libertarian. It can mean, you know, liberal circa 1960. It can mean, you know, the New York Times uses it. They say liberal Democrat or, you know, moderate Democrat, as if those aren't one and the same, at least in our contemporary American politics.
Neoliberalism. It's just too far. But on the term of socialist versus capitalist, you know, capitalism in its raw nature breeds inequality. It's just like the only way for capitalism to work is to exploit people. And it always is exploitation of, it's been Black people in America for all of America. So I feel like that's unfettered capitalism. I'm not against capitalism. I feel like there just needs to be some constraints. Like, you just can't have one person hoarding all of the wealth. Like, I just don't think private solutions, private markets, all of that, while it might clear the market economically efficient, I just don't think it's economically equitable.
Sure.
And, you know, there's just so many social factors that play into it.
Nice. So I'm curious. Yeah, you're right. By definition, I suppose capitalism, you know, requires inequality. Do you have a problem with inequality in so much as, does it bother you how rich people get, or does this always implicitly come back to you being bothered by how little people have?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like in human society, just humans want to have a status of power, you know, they want to move up the social hierarchy. That's just the way it's been always. So I don't have a problem with one person being richer than anybody else. I feel like that's not a problem. I think the problem is one person or the Walton family, whoever, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, whatever it is, have like just such a disproportionate amount of the wealth. And I feel like there are solutions, there are steps that can be taken that will redistribute wealth so that, like you said, it comes back to how little the 99% has.
I'm curious, do you endorse or adopt or, you know, walk in tandem with notions of class struggle that sometime have been put forth by people on the left? Is that something that you kind of shirk away from, you think is just talk, or is that something you really, a lens that you view America through?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, when it comes to class struggle, I definitely see what the left is talking about. It's hard for me to like grasp that. And I don't think there's going to be a giant class revolution, class struggle. It is a decent lens to explain the different, well, I feel like it would be a good, like a lens to view American society through, but America is so mired in racial history too. It's hard to break those apart. One thing I always think about is the racial wealth gap. The racial wealth disparity is enormous, and I'm sure you've seen this in a number of your political science classes. The median Black person in America, the median Black family, owns as much wealth as the bottom 10% of a white family. And so it's hard to look at it through just purely class struggles when there is that racial disparity too.
Let's take a quick moment to hear from our sponsors. Open since 2015, Elm Coffee Roasters is devoted to high-quality coffee that's easy to brew at home and a joy to drink. At their roastery and cafe in Pioneer Square, Seattle, Elm obsessively roasts small batches of coffee that they source with a focus on sustainable practices that lift up the whole supply chain and protect the future of the coffee plant. Elm's goal is to make a truly exceptional cup of coffee and experience you look forward to every day. Cafes in Pioneer Square and South Lake Union open now for takeout and soon dine-in service. Please use code PODCAST at elmcoffeeroasters.com for 15% off your next coffee order. Let's get back to the show. I'm curious, what do you think the future of Democratic politics looks like? Does it look like a Biden establishment figure being maybe eagerly or not pulled to the left? Do you see the Democratic Party becoming the party of left-wing populism? Do you want it to be that? What does the future of politics look like for you?
Again, I hate to put it in racial lenses, but I think Biden, I heard this in one of my podcasts, it kind of stuck with me. Somebody said, Biden is the old white person you have to vote for. Black people have been voting for old white people they didn't really love, but needed to vote for to get by. And it's just been that way for such a long time. I think now what's happening is the Democratic Party is aligning with pluralism, you know, this multiculturalism. And so I think the future of the Democratic Party, honestly, I think the Republican Party, this has to break down sometime in the future. It's going to change radically because it is not sustainable. They've been playing constitutional hardball, just trying to keep power so that their minority can hold on to what they have. Because there's no, like, if you look at who's voting, there is always a majority Democrat. So as you've seen in the Georgia voting laws and all that stuff, the only thing they've done is try to hinder blue votes. So I think what's going to happen is the Republican Party has to fall away at some point. What it's going to look like from there, whether it's going to be really progressive, like actually left ideology, or whether it's just going to continue to be more conservative in nature, but you'll have maybe the left will break away to a fringe group and it won't necessarily materialize. I don't even know if Democrat and Republican are going to be the names of the parties in the future.
Future politics is difficult. It reminds me of, Voting Rights Acts were passed, I think, in 65 and 68. And one might have thought that given landslides in 64 for Democrats and the complete disrupting of the American electoral scene, that Democrats would win for a generation. But it took, 4 years in 68 and 72 for Republicans to win in landslide. So I don't mean to put the impossible task of predicting what future politics is going to look like, especially post-pandemic. But I don't mean to put that task on you. You mentioned that Democratic politics is becoming more pluralistic, having more groups represented, more interests represented in just one party when one might compare to the Republicans, who have a more homogenous base. Is that a good thing? Do you want the Democratic Party to be this party of, I don't want to say conflict of interests, but a party that has a Manchin and an AOC and they are at somewhat harmony? Or do you think the Democratic Party should look a little bit more like the Republican Party, attacking people who, cross the divide?
You know, I see how you would want the Democratic Party to be really unified, but also Democrats are much more likely to appreciate bipartisanship. And so what that really looks like, whether you want kind of a loose structure or if you want it to be hard line like the Republicans have kind of been, it's a little bit tough to say. I'm going to go with, you first asked, do I want the Democratic Party to be pluralistic? Well, I want to say yes, of course, but I think the Republican Party needs to as well. The Republican Party is so majority white, and it has been for a long time. And that was the way with the Democrats too. It wasn't until pretty recently that, you know, Democrats have started to incorporate the Black vote meaningfully. I mean, Black voters have long been with Democratic Party. But I think what needs to happen is that both parties need to be pluralistic. I think it needs to go back to ideology. Like, what do you want America to look like? And it can't be this racial struggle, this social narrative forever. I think that's impossible. So I think yes, but I also want the Republican Party to have that pluralistic view too.
Okay, conditional yes. I will take it. Are there any misconceptions about the American left? A lot of people have a problem with calling the Bernie Sanders wing the American left. They think it's center left or centrist, but regardless, our American left, do you have anything that you wish particularly conservatives knew? Is there a 15, 30 second pitch you can give them to say, this is what we are and this is what we aren't?
I don't want to speak for all Bernie supporters. I do want to say there is definitely misconception about what it means to be leftist. I feel like misinformation, like active disinformation, has been spread, especially by Republicans, maybe even Russian operatives, like in the 2016 election. I feel like that's definitely possible. If I were to explain it in like a 15 second pitch, like one sentence, what I really want to get across about the American left is that they want livable lives for all people in America. And if that means taxing the rich a little bit more, like a wealth tax, I was really behind that when Elizabeth Warren put that out. I feel like there needs to be wealth circulating in the economy. So when it comes to what I want as a Bernie supporter, as a left Biden supporter, is I want everybody in America to have a decent life, or at least the opportunity, the chance to have a decent life.
That makes sense. Seems a pretty reasonable claim. And I would be curious to hear how Republican might counter that with their own picturesque response. Well, thank you so much, Ben Roscoe, for coming on.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Simon.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much for going on this small adventure with me. My name is Simon Schumacher, and this has been a More Perfect Union.